Let us follow up that prayer that we might see the Lord revealed in the book of God by giving our attention to John chapter 6. And this morning, verses 22 through 35. John chapter 6, verses 22 through 35. Jesus, on the day before what is recorded here, had miraculously multiplied the loaves and the fishes that were given him by a little boy to feed thousands of people, the crowd that was following him. That night he walked on water, further revealing to his disciples that he is the I Am, God in the flesh. And now it is the next day, and this crowd, realizing that he is no longer on the eastern side of the Sea of Galilee, they take boats that had come over from the western side, they take them back across to find Jesus. They're seeking Jesus. May we genuinely, with hearts of love and faith, seek our Lord as we look now into his word. John chapter 6, beginning in verse 22. On the next day, the crowd that remained on the other side of the sea saw that there had been only one boat there, and that Jesus had not entered the boat with his disciples, but that his disciples had gone away alone. Other boats from Tiberias came near the place where they had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. So when the crowd saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum seeking Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not labor for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him God the Father has set his seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to be doing the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So they said to him, "Then what sign do you do that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform? Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of your Son, the bread of life. We pray for the enabling grace of your Holy Spirit, that you would grant us a spiritual appetite now to feed upon Christ by faith and with hearts of thanksgiving. Grant us who are fed by Jesus to be those whom you equip and compel to go out and share with others where they too may find this bread of life, the only bread that truly and eternally satisfies the soul. This we pray through Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, people in almost every place and time have cooked, craved, and consumed bread. It seems that there have been almost as many types of bread as there have been cultures since the beginning of time. Just think of the multiplicity of breads. We're blessed here to have Eric, who brings in very often, was graciously, generously, brings in a multiplicity of breads, all kinds of breads. And I often see many of you leaving with a multiplicity of bread on Sundays. We're thankful for Eric and his generosity. But just think of, for a moment, of the multiplicity of breads that exists in different cultures, in different places. From bagels, baguettes, biscotti, biscuits, breadsticks, brioche, ciabatta, cornbread, crackers, crepes, and croutons, to flatbread, focaccia, hardtack, hoe cake, matzo, Melba toast, muffins, naan, pancakes, pita, pretzel, pumpernickel, rye, sourdough, tortilla, and wonton, just to name a few. People in all places and cultures love bread. We get it when we talk about bread. It's not only a necessity, it's a kind of comfort food for us as well. Bread is so central to most people's diet that it has become a symbol for food in general, or material or physical provision in general. Thus, Jesus taught us to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread." And as seen here in John chapter 6 in Scripture, bread also symbolizes spiritual food, food for our souls. This morning I want us to consider the bread of life, that God lovingly offers us, that he offers us for free. Even as Eric brings in that bread week by week and gives it away, I want us to consider the bread of life that God offers to all of us under three headings. First, the Father, who generously provides the bread of life. Then the Son, who is the bread of life. And third, the sinner who partakes of the bread of life. In the first place, the Father who graciously, generously, lovingly provides the bread of life. On this day on which we remember and give thanks for and celebrate fathers and father figures who have blessed and enriched our lives, we think of the attributes that mark a good and faithful father. If you were to take a survey and ask people, what good attributes did your father have, or what are good attributes for a father to have, surely a word that would be mentioned would be provider. My dad was a good provider. My dad he works hard to provide for us. A good father seeks to provide for his family. In fact, the origins of Father's Day go all the way back to the Middle Ages, and the church's celebration of the Feast of Saint Joseph. Joseph, the one whom we might call the earthly father of Jesus, we're told in Scripture, was an honorable man. And he would have, as a carpenter, he would have worked hard with his hands to provide for his family, to provide from a human point of view and in a very tangible way for Jesus himself when Jesus was growing up in Joseph's home. In connection with the Feast of St. Joseph, the church refers to Joseph as the fatherly nourisher of the Lord. He was his human father, his human father figure. He was his provider, his nourisher. In the days of his flesh, when Jesus was growing up. A good father works hard in order to provide for and nurture his family. In 1 Timothy 5:8, the Apostle Paul went as far as to say, if anyone does not provide for his own, especially for his own household, he is denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. In other words, even unbelieving fathers typically provide for their families. How much more should a believing father? When earthly fathers provide for their children, they reflect the character of the heavenly Father. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, "Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, we'll give him a snake. If you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give good things to those who ask him?" In his teaching in Luke chapter 11 and verse 13, how much more will he give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? The gift of all gifts. Here in John chapter 6, Jesus reminds the crowd of this characteristic of the Heavenly Father. He is a provider. The crowd had demanded that Jesus perform a sign that would further demonstrate that he was a prophet greater than Moses, a prophet promised in the Old Testament. They especially wanted him to perform signs that would show that he was the fulfillment of their expectations of a Messiah, of a deliverer. They wanted a deliverer that would deliver them politically from the Romans and provide for them materially the way that Moses had delivered them from Egypt, their fathers from Egypt, and provided for them in the wilderness. Of course, the irony is Jesus had provided them with many signs already. Most recently, he had signified that he was the promised Messiah by miraculously providing them with bread. They said, "Yes, you provided us with bread, but you were given some bread to start with. You had a little bit to work with. Moses gave us bread from heaven out of nowhere. His bread came from heaven. It was a unique bread. It was a different bread. Manna means what is it? Our fathers didn't quite know what it was. A mysterious bread, a truly miraculous bread, a bread from heaven, which Moses provided our fathers in the wilderness." Jesus responded to them beginning in verse 32. "Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." Jesus said, "It wasn't Moses, it was my heavenly Father who provided bread for your fathers in the wilderness." And the heavenly Father cares not only about our bodies. He does care about our bodies. God loves bodies. He shows us that he loves bodies and that he wants to redeem our bodies in sending his Son to become flesh for us. And raising up his Son. But God doesn't only love our bodies, he also loves our souls. And thus he provides true bread, bread that does not perish, bread that gives spiritual food, bread that gives spiritual life, eternal life, abundant life, not just for the Jews, but for the whole world. For For whosoever will receive that bread by faith. So in the first place, Jesus, who loves his Father, is proud of his Father. He knows he's got the best one. He's always telling people about his Father. Jesus says, "My Father is the one who miraculously, graciously, generously provides the bread of life." And in the second place, the Son, who is the bread of life. The Father provides it. The Son is the bread of life. Now, if you follow the church calendar, you will know that today is not only Father's Day, it is also Trinity Sunday. You say every Sunday at BPC is Trinity Sunday. I hope you say that. Trinity Sunday, the day on which the church celebrates the fact that our God, the true God revealed in Scripture, is one God in three glorious persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Perhaps a reference to the Spirit even here in our passage today. Jesus is always talking about not just himself, but the Father and the Spirit, where he says here in our text this morning, in verse 27, at the end of verse 27, "For on him, the Son of Man, God the Father has set his seal." Perhaps at least in part a reference to the Holy Spirit who descended upon Jesus at his baptism in the form of a dove, signifying that Jesus is the Son of God, the Messiah. Of course, there at the baptism as well, the Father proclaiming, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased." The Father's voice, the Son in the flesh, the seal of the Holy Spirit. Later on in this passage in John chapter 6, the Holy Spirit will be referred to as the Spirit who gives life. Verse 63 is the Spirit who gives life, who unites us to the Son, makes us know the love of the Father deep in our souls. At the core of the Christian faith is the relationship between the Father and the Son in the Spirit. It's into that relationship that we are graciously drawn by the Spirit through faith. That's the core of the Christian faith. An eternal Father who has an eternal Son whom he loves eternally in and through and with the Holy Spirit. And that relationship comes to the fore here again in John's Gospel. When Jesus described the bread of life that the Father gives to the world, the crowd responded, "Sir, give us this bread always." Now we know, as we'll consider, Lord willing, next week and in subsequent weeks, we will see that this request, and indeed their seeking Jesus, it wasn't, for all of them at least, out of a heart of faith, out of a heart of love. There was a certain emptiness to these words that proceeded from their lips at this point. They said, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them in verse 34, "I am the bread of life." The bread of life is not a thing. It is a person. The second person of the Blessed Trinity. The eternal Son of the Father. Jesus is the wonderful provision that the Father has given us that we might have spiritual life. Eternal life is found in Him. That's what Jesus is saying. Eternal life is found in Him and nowhere else. As we've seen already in our study, and as we'll see again, Lord willing, when Jesus said, "I am," he was claiming to be God. He's claiming that Old Testament name of God for himself, the name by which God revealed himself to Moses at the burning bush. Moses said, "You're sending me to the people, to your people, people of Israel. Whom shall I say is sending me?" God said, "I am." Jesus is taking that name to himself. When he said, "I am," he was claiming to be God. When he said, "I am the bread of life," he was claiming to be God in the flesh. As we'll see later on, this connection between bread and flesh, we celebrate and mark that connection every time we partake of the Lord's Supper. When he said, "I am," he was claiming to be God. When he said, "I am the bread of life," he was claiming to be God truly in the flesh, in our humanity. He was saying that God is not aloof. God is not uncaring regarding our human predicament, our condition of sin and misery. God loved us in this way. He gave his Son. He sent manna from heaven to feed us eternally. His own beloved Son to become the bread of life. In order to be the bread of life, that which gives us life, the Son became one of us, flesh, to live in our place, to die in our place, to be raised up in our place, to ascend in our place, and to with the Father send the Holy Spirit into our lives that we might have life in Him. We have a God who is transcendent, yes, but He's also immanent. He comes near. So much contained in those words, "I am the bread of life." Jesus is the one who nourishes us spiritually. We feed on him by faith. And as we do, we live. The Father who provides the bread of life, the Son who is the bread of life, and in third place, sinners who partake of the bread of life. Sinners have hungry souls as well as hungry bellies. And we in our sin try to feed our hungry souls with all kinds of things. But as Blaise Pascal, a famous French mathematician and philosopher, put it, there is a God-shaped vacuum in the heart of every man. We might say there is a God-shaped spiritual stomach within us all that can be filled, that cannot be filled by any created thing, but only by God the Creator, made known through Jesus Christ, His Son. It's the only food that will satisfy the human soul. A few years ago on 60 Minutes, there was an interview with Tom Brady. Have you heard of him? I think by any standard, would you agree, he's somewhat successful. He's had a few accomplishments. From a worldly standard, certainly fabulously successful. We might even say from a worldly perspective, now there's a guy who has it all. But in this interview, he said this: "Why do I have these Super Bowl rings and still think there's something greater out there for me?" I think there's got to be more than this. I mean, this isn't it. This can't be what it's all cracked up to be. And the journalist asked, "What's the answer?" And Tom Brady responded, "I wish I knew." Friends, none of us need to say, I wish I knew. I wish I knew what would satisfy my soul, moment by moment, day by day, and for eternity. For we have heard the words of Jesus loud and clear: "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. And whoever believes in me shall never thirst." As Jesus communicates in those very words, to come to Jesus is to believe in Jesus. And that's the right response, isn't it, to the Father's gift of the bread of life. Again, in verses 28 and 29, the crowd asked him, "What must we do to be doing the works of God?" In other words, what does God require of us? Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God. This is what God requires, that you believe in Him whom He has sent." The Father gives continually. That's what Jesus is saying in verse 33. "For the bread of God is He who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." The bread is continually giving life to all who avail themselves of that bread. And then the previous verse, "The Father gives you the true bread from heaven." It's a continual giving. It's not just that the Father gave, the Father continually gives. He's continually, as it were, offering the bread of His Son to sinners. And the commensurate response for sinners is by grace to continually feast upon that bread, moment by moment. To feast upon that bread by faith and with thanksgiving. May God give us the grace to say, in an even deeper and more genuine way, what the crowd said to Jesus in verse 34. "Sir, give us this bread always." May we say that with hearts of faith. May we say to God the Father, "Thank you for supplying, for providing as a good and gracious, as the best of fathers, for providing the bread of life for us." May we live daily with hearts of thanksgiving and lips of thanksgiving and attitudes and lives of thanksgiving as we thank the Father moment by moment for continually offering and supplying and providing the bread of life in His Son. And may we moment by moment, by grace, by this by the gracious work of God, may we moment by moment be coming to Jesus, the bread of life, and feasting upon Him, walking with Him, spending time with Him, receiving from the Father the grace of the Son by faith, feasting upon Jesus through communion with Him, moment by moment. And may we always be praying to the Spirit, enable us to partake. Confessing the Spirit, today I have an appetite for other things. I have an appetite for other things. And I'm feeding my soul, trying to feed my soul on other things. Father, forgive me. Jesus, I come to you again. I repent of looking to other bread for satisfaction. And Holy Spirit, help me to feed upon the bread of life that I might be satisfied. And as I am satisfied, as I feed upon this bread, that I would be strengthened and motivated to go and tell others about this bread, upon whom they may feast by faith and find satisfaction for their hungry souls. May God so work in our lives that we grow in that witness. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, you are, as we've been reminded again today, the best of fathers. Lord, help us who are fathers to grow in being more like you. A loving provider. One who is patient and kind and gentle with his children. Help us to point them to you. And when we fail, when we sin before them, when we sin against them, grant us your Spirit's grace to repent, to seek your forgiveness and seek their forgiveness as well. And so point them to Jesus, the Savior of mothers and fathers and children. Grant us, as we go out of this place, to not stop feeding upon the bread of life. Grant us your Spirit's grace that you might grow us in having an appetite, the desires above all else to feast upon Jesus, that we might feast upon him by faith and in love and with thanksgiving, that you might continue to make us more like Jesus. And make us more loving and bold witnesses. Beggars who have found bread, who tell others, who tell other beggars, empty souls, like we once were, where they may find the bread of life as well. Help us, Lord. We ask this sincerely and earnestly. And confidently, for we ask it in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen.